Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
You know, I like to watch different programs on TV, and there was a program called The Psychic Detectives, and I know there's, you know, different types of it. And then I was, you know, I got an email the other day, and it was about a group of people called the Medical Detectives. And it really caught my interest because here is an organization that helps people discover what's wrong with them. And maybe sometimes there are people, I'm sure there's many people, that doctors can't figure out what is going on. And so now, my guest today, his name is Jared Hyman from San Francisco. He's going to clue us in on what's called CrowdMed.com Medical Detectives. How you doing today, Jared?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
Great. So you're out in San Fran, is that where you're at right now?
I am calling you from Russian Hill in San Francisco.
No kidding. How long have you been out there?
About a year and a half. I came out here to really to start this company.
And where are you from originally?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, really? That's quite a trek for you.
I actually took a very circuitous route to get here. After leaving Atlanta, I traveled the world for 2 years, 25 countries, 4 continents, over 100 cities, and I ended up landing in San Francisco and deciding to make this my next home.
Now, what were you doing in that time period? Because I know you said you're not involved in the medical field. So what were you doing?
Well, prior to the trip, I had started another company, an online survey firm called InfoServe, and that's based in Atlanta. And I had been running that company for about a decade, and I decided I needed a break and wanted to take some time off and clear my head and figure out what I wanted to do next in my career and my life. So I took this 2-year sabbatical, had plenty of time to kind of try to listen to my inner voice and see what I wanted to do next, and that led me to CrowdMed and led me to San Francisco.
Now, you said this is really almost like a spiritual journey for you. How so is that?
I wanted to, sometimes I found that I have a tendency, or we all have a tendency, to try to rely too much on logic when making decisions, and I think some decisions can and should be made very logically and rationally. Other decisions, you really need to be able to quiet your logical mind and listen to your heart. And I felt like understanding what my calling was in life and what I wanted to do next in my career was a heart-based decision, not one I could come to logically. So that's why I took off this time and cleared my mind, and I focused on meditation and yoga and anything I could do to clear my mind and try to rid it of distractions and try to listen to my inner voice. Which is what led me to CrowdMed, and I think it was really based more on emotion than anything else, because my sister had spent 3 years with a chronic, undiagnosed medical condition that had nearly killed her, and even though she had been diagnosed by the time I left on my sabbatical, it has still left a really big impact on me, and I felt that I wanted to do something that would help people like her, who had been facing an undiagnosed condition that doctors couldn't figure out. And I think my sabbatical and the impact that left on me, along with some knowledge I gained over the years about the wisdom of crowds, led me to CrowdMed.
The wisdom of crowds. Can you explain that as well? What do you mean, the wisdom of crowds?
It's a very cool concept. It's this notion that large groups of non-experts can collectively be smarter than individual experts. And it was actually popularized in a book published in 2004. It was a New York Times bestseller by a guy named James Sirowiecki, and it was titled The Wisdom of Crowds. And he makes a pretty compelling argument and gives many examples of how crowds can be smarter than individual experts as long as the right conditions are in place.
And now why do you... Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jared.
So it's not to say that crowds are always wiser than experts, but if certain criteria are met, and one of those criteria is having the right mechanism in place to aggregate their collective intelligence, they can be much smarter than experts. And I felt that if crowds are so wise, why are we relying on individual experts called doctors when it comes to solving tough medical cases?
So it almost sounds like to me what you're saying, maybe in my limited thinking here, is like a group consciousness somehow is tapping into something else. Is that possible?
I think that collectively, you know, there is a collective consciousness. And collectively, we're much smarter than we are individually. And it's not going to happen without some mechanism in place to aggregate and collect that intelligence. But if that mechanism is properly created, I think that, there is a group consciousness or collective intelligence, and it can be extremely wise.
You think
much wiser.
And maybe this maybe is not what you intended, but do you think any of that is really like kind of a psychic connection or intuition?
Intuition, yes. What led me to CrowdMed was intuition. It was not logic. I certainly believe in intuition, and I think that sometimes our intuition can be wiser than our logical minds. We see it on the site. We see patients that are led to answers that that they just were not seeing from individual physicians.
So this is what inspired you, and you when you went and traveled the world, that had to be incredible too. Before we get to the interview, I mean, you must have witnessed some really incredible things when you were traveling like that.
It was very mind-opening, just to realize the kind of our reality in the Western world and in the U.S. is not the only reality, and things we take for granted, the parts of the world are not taken for granted, and things we take as assumptions are not assumed in other parts of the world. And I spent some time in Bali and Southeast Asia, South America, all throughout Europe, and really got to see a lot of cultures, a lot of perspectives, and really came to appreciate a lot of things about myself and about medicine. I could tell you some really interesting stories of some things I saw with some healers in Bali that totally blew my mind.
Go ahead. I was going to say, you mean they actually were able to heal people? With energy, or
it looked like it. I still can't, through my Western lens, it's still hard to explain. But I saw people that in Bali, and by the way, we're not talking about CrowdMed anymore. This is just something I experienced when I traveled.
I know, yeah.
Not related to our site. But in Bali, I did see spiritual healers that seemed to fix things as physical as broken bones without using X-rays or casts or any of the tools that are used in Western society, I still can't explain it. I just kind of had to see it to believe it.
Well, it opens your eyes a little bit, and that's part of the journey, isn't it? So, tell me about CrowdMed. How did that come about?
So, when I asked about halfway through my trip, I started really to think about what I wanted to do next. And I was inspired about medicine and solving tough cases through my sister's experience. I'd spent 2 years in my previous company studying the wisdom of crowds and a mechanism called prediction markets, which is like a virtual stock market. It's the mechanism that we use to aggregate the crowd's wisdom. And I wanted to marry that passion and that knowledge together. And it really became very clear to me once I kind of quieted my mind that this is what I should do. So I moved out to San Francisco and set up shop in Silicon Valley. I started talking to investors, and that eventually led me to create CrowdMed and, raise some money, put together a team, and do all that one needs to do to get a tech startup off the ground.
That's pretty amazing, the fact that you have the faith to just go out there and believe what you were feeling. I mean, were you ever, concerned that it might flop, or?
I think every entrepreneur goes back and forth from optimism to pessimism to security to insecurity. It's an emotional roller coaster.
Do you believe?
It does take a leap of faith. You do have to really trust that your gut is pointing you in the right direction. And at some point I just felt that, someone has to do this, and I'm in a good position to do it, and it was a leap, but this entrepreneurs do.
Did you see little signs along the way, like it was almost serendipity or synchronicity, something that kind of made you realize you were doing the right thing?
There were lots of signs of encouragement, and that is good. I do feel like once I was down the right path, there were all these little clues dropped in front of me to tell me that it was the right path. You know, just everything from, I'll give you just one random example, the term medical detective, which you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. which we filed a trademark on. I didn't come up with that term. I was at a cocktail party, and I was telling someone about this CrowdMed idea. At that point, it was just an idea. And I was saying how we get these people to collaborate on solving cases, and the girl I was talking to says, oh, like medical detectives. I said, that's a great idea. Can I use that term? She said, sure. So then I went out and called my attorney, and we filed a trademark on it because I thought it was a great way of describing these case solvers.
Absolutely.
And that's just one random example. There are many things and many people that I feel kind of pointed me and gave me the encouragement and help to make this happen.
It really is amazing. I mean, when you talk to anybody, because that's what I love doing, is like picking apart people's stories because you see the connections and how maybe we're all kind of connected. And then there's, you know, if you want to look at it from a spiritual connection, like there's like a guiding force, isn't there, in all of our lives, kind of leading us, especially once we start following.
It does feel that way sometimes, for sure, yes. I agree.
So how do people get involved with CrowdMed.com? I guess you can just go to the website, right?
Yeah, we've tried to make it very easy. So you just visit the website. You can click on, there's two main, what we call calls to action on the website. One is to submit a case, and one is to solve a case. And we welcome both case submitters, patients, and also case solvers, medical detectives. We welcome both of them to register. And it only takes a couple minutes to register. It's free. And we welcome people on both sides of that. We're trying to bring together these two communities of the patients and the detectives. To really try to bring the patients the best answers while allowing the patients while allowing the detectives to try their hand at solving even the world's most difficult medical cases.
So I'm guessing these detectives really are pretty qualified doctors. You're not going to have a guy that digs ditches going, hey, you know what, I think I know what the problem is there.
Well, you know, it's something we struggle with because we want to have, obviously, medical experts on the site, but we also believe that the insight that leads a patient to their correct diagnosis and treatment could come from anywhere.
From anyone.
Absolutely. And we actually, we don't limit it to physicians.
Really?
And, you know, that the ditch digger that you mentioned, even though he's not a medical professional, he could have very specific knowledge around a very specific medical condition that's even deeper than a lot of doctors have.
Because maybe he went through it?
Exactly. My sister spent 3 years with a very rare disease, and she knows way more about this disease than the most physicians do.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to keep those insights off the site. So we actually do allow pretty much anyone to register and participate, although we rely on the crowd's consensus or collective wisdom to be smart, even if single individuals might get bad answers. And that is one of the tenets of crowd wisdom. Is even though individual contributors might sometimes say stupid things, the crowd as a whole, collectively, still tends to be wise.
Do you get, like, people that will offer, like, a natural alternative to a disease? Do you get things like that?
Yes, and that's another reason we didn't want to limit our community to the medical doctors. We believe that the traditional orthodox Western school of thought when it comes to medicine is not and should not be the only one. Western medical doctors tend to rely very heavily on medication or surgery to solve a lot of cases, but sometimes there are much less invasive approaches. So we welcome chiropractors, nutritionists, naturopaths, people of an Eastern medical orientation. We welcome all of that, because we believe that having a large and cognitively diverse set of medical detectives will give us better answers than a group of detectives that all come from the same Western school of medical thought.
You know, I'm always talking to people because I'm always curious. I've been like this my whole life, Jared, and I used to get all these stories. And I thought, well, someday I should share them. So I started doing my site. And it was almost like I was guided, kind of like you. And, you know, I've heard a lot of, you know, people have healed from different drugs or things to that of nature. But also I've heard, there was a friend, there's a guy I work with, and his daughter was actually losing her vision in one eye. And she was pretty frightened by it. And she went, and I don't remember what it was called, what was wrong with her. But she had gone to a doctor, and they were going to do some, I don't know if they're going to do surgery or whatever, but my friend thought, you know what, I'm just going to try acupuncture. I just have a feeling this might be able to help her. I don't know how he knew that or if he heard of somebody. And after he did acupuncture, she regained her vision. So it's like, there could be a lot of answers, you know, that people have. I kind of like doing my show because people are sharing their experiences. And people, you know, you're on a show that maybe is a little bit out there, and I don't know how open you are to that, but you know what you're doing, too, is maybe not accepted mainstream, is it?
No, it's not. Usually when I first tell people about CrowdMed, they either say, that is an amazing idea, you know, thank you so much for doing this, or they think, you know, you're crazy allowing non-doctors to try to solve medical cases. So, some people do consider it out there. Knowing what I know about crowd wisdom and collective intelligence, I don't think it's so out there. And if you're one of the academic researchers or if you've studied crowd wisdom, you probably wouldn't think it's so out there either. You mentioned acupuncture, and I've talked to a lot of people who have told me they had excellent medical results through acupuncture. And just because it's not part of the Western Orthodox medical establishment, that doesn't mean that it can't be very effective. And in fact, in the East, that's considered medicine as much as we consider prescription drugs medicine.
I know. It's amazing. So, yeah. If you look at people in different parts of the world, what they've been using for thousands of years to heal themselves, and we think we have all the answers over here, and it's like, well, what about what's going over on in China or these other countries where they don't have what we have? You know, they have a simpler setup. Or even people that live in remote areas, how do they take care of themselves? And a lot of times it's with the foods, the natural foods, the herbs and the roots to heal themselves from illnesses or if they get hurt. So I got to believe, you know, the design of the way this planet was, Jared, everything should be here. You would think if there's a grand design, everything is here for us to heal is the way I look at it. Nothing was put here that we wouldn't be able to cure or find an answer to. I don't think we were put here and say, good luck. Hope that works out down there. Let me know.
No, I agree. And I don't know whether there is a conscious godlike force or whether it's just the universe or things that don't even have maybe the right words to describe. But I couldn't agree more about how food can be extremely medicinal. Herbs can be medicinal. We really do need to expand our ideas of what is medicine beyond prescription drugs and surgery and kind of the more invasive techniques that the Western medicine tends to rely on.
So what happens, can you give me like some case examples if there's diseases that people can't figure out? Or maybe even just if somebody wants a second opinion on something, can they do that as well?
We try to provide not just a second opinion, but a third and a tenth and a 20th.
Right. Okay.
We'll usually get several dozen people to participate, several dozen medical detectives to participate in solving a case. Hmm. We encourage patients to only submit their case on our site after they've already seen their doctor, maybe even seen a couple doctors, and still don't have answers. We don't view it as an alternative to going to see a doctor,
right,
but rather something to try after you've already not had success through the traditional routes. And that's for two reasons. One is that we want the patients to be able to give our medical detectives lots of clues, and sometimes those clues can come after they've already seen a few doctors. They've maybe had some tests run. They've already ruled out certain things. They've got a clear understanding of what their symptoms are, so they can basically just give us a better case. So we encourage that first and foremost, but then also because we don't view CrowdMed as an alternative or as a a substitute for seeing some sort of a person, a human being. We don't think that our medical detectives don't have any physical contact with the patient. There's no doctor-patient relationship established. So we're not trying to replace physicians or doctors or healers or whoever they want to see, but we are trying to provide an alternative source of information that they can discuss with their practitioner.
Well, when you're out of options, you know, what do? You know, who do you go to? And I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel that way. Even after they've been told they got a disease and they've gone the conventional route and the disease hasn't gone away, can you help people with that too?
That's who we're trying to help. It's not only people that are seeking a diagnosis, but also those who maybe they've been diagnosed with something, but it's not what they consider a root cause diagnosis, or they still haven't found the right solution to their illness. We also, on the site, can collect solution ideas. And some of our patients, they have a diagnosis, but they don't have a solution, and we want to help those patients as well.
So what's really cool about it is people can just ask questions. I mean, they're not, you know, they get some different opinions on different choices. And, you know, maybe you're in a position, even if you're first diagnosed with something, it's good to have as many options as you want. And it always should be your decision. I know you're saying, well, you don't want to go, you're not going to alter what a doctor does. But I think sometimes in our society, we take away the patient's power because people will hear a doctor say something, and one doctor is going to be different from the next. And all of a sudden, boom, that's the course they're going to follow. And maybe also with crowdmed.com, it gives you a couple more, you know, extra options that you can look at. Because maybe that's what we really need to educate ourselves as much as we can and try to put the power back in our hands. I can't tell you how many times, and maybe your sister felt this way too, people I know, when they get ill and they feel like they're powerless, they don't know what to do, and they're scared. And I feel we don't have to live that way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Patient empowerment is a huge principle for us. And we think that the patient should be their own medical quarterback, and they should be knowledgeable about their disease. They should understand all of the potential diagnoses and treatment ideas, and they should not just kind of blindly follow the opinion of their physician. They should really take charge and be empowered, and we're trying to provide one more way in which patients can be empowered.
What are some of the, I mean, can you share some of the, what's happened within your site, the things that you know about? Do you have any stories you want to share about some amazing results or things that have happened?
We've had, you know, it's one of the great things about running a company like this is I get to see some patients that have really dramatic success stories, which is kind of what fuels us and keeps us going, despite all the challenges of trying to get an internet startup off the ground. We've seen patients who had been sick for years and they had kind of at their wit's end. And then on CrowdMed, they see diagnostic or solution ideas that their physicians had never even suggested. And they start exploring those paths. And, we've seen cases where one of the solution suggestions suggested on the site could end several years of suffering for them. And it's heartwarming to see that, and it that's what gives us the motivation to persevere despite all the challenges we face.
So have you heard about people that have they contacted you back and said, you know what, this helped me, my life is different, it's better? Have you heard any of that? You've heard those kinds
of course.
Okay.
Several.
That is
and
awesome.
Go
ahead, Jared.
I was going to say several of those, and we're actually trying right now to create some video case studies on our site where we interview those patients on video and they tell their story, and those should be going live on the site hopefully within a few weeks.
That sounds incredible. That's amazing. So you can really see, I didn't know how far you got involved in that. Because a lot of times, like, you know, you do something or someone lead them to a direction, you're not always going to hear back, right? How things went.
We try to follow up. We want to know how every case ended up, whether the patient got diagnostic or solution suggestions that led them closer to a cure, whether they thought, you know, how helpful they found our community to be, down to what they thought about the technical experience that we gave them, you know, just did the website have any bugs, and even things on that level. Mm-hmm. But we really do try to get that feedback because, you know, patients, our users, are our best source of feedback. And in fact, most of the way the site has evolved over the past year since we launched it, most of those site improvement ideas have come directly from our users. So we try to stay very close to them and really understand their stories and how we can optimize the site to serve their needs.
Could you imagine this kind of thing even 10 years ago, even happening this kind of thing? I mean, don't you think there's like a change in the way people are thinking nowadays?
Yes, I think that there is. And I think part of it is technology and part of it is culture. You know, the internet is now ubiquitous. You know, even in the developing world, people can access the internet through their smartphones. And so that's one thing that had to happen. But secondly, I think there's been a cultural shift where patients do feel more empowered than they used to. You know, in the 1950s or 60s, I think, or even maybe as recently as the 90s, patients would more or less unquestioningly follow the advice of their physician. But I feel like now patients are much more educated. They have much more tools at their disposal. They're accustomed to getting online and doing their own research and really getting their heads around medicine more than they used to. And I think a cultural shift was also a prerequisite to people being able to have the confidence to seek out their own answers and not just rely on their doctor.
Yeah, self-empowerment. We're waking up and stuff. In a way, we're kind of reclaiming our power, it seems like. And not only that, but you and I were talking about this off the air, about there just seems to be a change I see in people. And it's a shift in the way they look at their beliefs and maybe their interaction, like in this case, with medicine. And I think there's something going on, like an awakening, it seems like. Do you sense any of that? I mean, your travels, you traveled the earth, right? A couple years. Did you see anything like that?
I mean, for me, my sabbatical was, I would definitely consider it an awakening. And my life changed in so many positive ways as a result of that experience. And I could give many examples. I won't go into a whole biography, but that I'll probably always define my life in terms of pre-sabbatical and post-sabbatical. I think a lot of that was spiritual, but I couldn't be in touch with that side of myself until I was able to kind of strip away a lot of distractions. I spent several months in Bali, which was probably the epitome of that. I think a lot of people are realizing that there's more to reality and to life than first meets the eye, and I think it's a great shift that's happening with so many people.
You were more, you fitted to this show better than I thought you were going to. You fit into my type of show. I'm thinking, well, I didn't want to make you feel uncomfortable being on my program. I told you a little bit what it was about, but I'm always searching for answers. And it's funny how so many people, especially people that have traveled a bit or opened their eyes a bit, are saying the same thing that you're saying, Jared. A lot of my guests. And they come from many different belief systems. So I find that's just more than a coincidence, you know, that there's something going on. Something big is going on. And again, I think you're tapping into something that is going to allow others. Maybe this is the wave of the future. Do you feel that way, Jared?
We view it that way. I mean, we think that the entire medical culture needs to shift from an orientation around individual expertise to an orientation and an appreciation for the wisdom of crowds. And, it's our hope that a few years down the road, when someone's sick and they don't have the answers, instead of thinking, well, I just need to find the foremost individual expert in the world around my condition, instead they think, you know, how can I tap into the collective wisdom of the crowd in order to find the best answers? And, if we have our way, a few years down the road, when you're sick, you won't think, well, I just need to go see a doctor. You'll still think that. And again, we still think doctors have their place and always will. But you'll also see the crowd as a trusted alternative source of information that you should tap into. And it's a big goal, but that's what we're trying to achieve.
You know, a lot of, I don't know how old you are, Jared, but in my lifetime, and I'm 54, I've seen medicine change a lot. You know, simple treatments for ailments. And now everything seems to come with a complicated drug. A lot of it is prescribing drugs. And really, it's the body that's got to heal itself, doesn't it?
I think it's safe to say that we rely too heavily on drugs in our at least in the U.S. and probably in a lot of Western countries. Sometimes even doctors will tell you sometimes it's the tincture of time is the best medicine. Sometimes it's looking at your nutrition and your lifestyle. You know, or is your stress level too high? Are you eating healthy? Are you getting enough exercise? You know, these things aren't very sexy, and they don't make as much money as a prescription drug does, but they can often be more effective and certainly less invasive for the patient. And, you know, I think that we need a mechanism in place for those answers, making it to the forefront of the patient's consciousness, and not just the drugs that, again, are often oversubscribed, overprescribed in our society.
Yeah, it seems like we have a first thing that happens to you, first thing you want to do is reach for a drug, and I've never been that kind of person. But, you know, I know a lot of people, or they'll run to the emergency room, and to me, it's something pretty minor. I grew up out in the country, and you didn't go to the doctor unless your arm was falling off, you know? It's like, oh, I better go see him because my arm fell off, you know? Maybe he can sew that back on. Otherwise, you know, you didn't absolutely go. And then, of course, back then, too, when I was a kid, the doctors came to your house. They did house calls. And so a lot has changed. And in a way, I'm not comfortable with a lot of that because I'm a believer in a lot of natural ways to treat ourselves, especially first and foremost. Because if you can go that route, it's going to be better for your body. And, you know, sometimes you don't have a choice. If you have maybe something really severe, and they've got to go after it right now. So in that respect, you know, drugs and operations, those can be an alternative as well. But I always think, boy, if I can avoid the drugs, because that might blow out my liver or whatever, you know. It's like it might affect another part of my body over time especially. You know, I look at those things on TV when they run the ads, and I'm thinking, who would ever want to take that? You know, the side effects may cause your spleen to jump out of your body or, you know, there's a lot of these drastic side effects. And, you know, and if you have like something mild, like maybe you snore, you know, and I'm exaggerating, of course, but I'm thinking, I think I'll just keep snoring. You know, I'm not going to take this because it may lead to this and this and this and this. You know what I'm saying, Jared?
Yeah, no, I do. And I agree. And I think we definitely have a bias in our medical system towards, you know, trying to squat a fly with a sledgehammer.
That's a good way to put it.
Sometimes you just need to swat the fly away.
Yeah, you just need a little fly swatter. That's all you need. Maybe one that's made green, a green-made fly swatter. Yeah, so you can recycle it if you want. What else would you like to tell me, Jared? Is there anything else you want to tell me about this crowdmed.com?
You know, you've asked some great questions. You know, I would just say that, you know, we're at the stage right now where we think we've built really great technology, and we're just trying to get more people on the site. So, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it with your listeners, and I encourage them to check out the site and sign up as a medical detective or patient, see if we can help them.
So if anybody's had any experience with things, and I've had a lot of experiences with natural things, so maybe I should sign up because I know people that have been healed. I've witnessed it firsthand from taking certain natural substances that, you know, maybe gives people a choice, an alternative.
And we want to give people like you a voice. So, you know, if you're on the site and you see a case and you know, you say, you know what, I have firsthand someone who had very similar symptoms and was healed by this natural remedy, you know, by all means, suggest that.
Cool.
And that idea makes it to the patient, which is, and it, you know, it's possible that their physician would not have made that suggestion, and We want to give them insights that they may not have gotten from their position. So we welcome people like you on the site.
I've got to check it out, and I got some friends I got to tell about it, because I think the ones that actually went through it could really, you know, maybe they can contribute. And I really kind of think also, I don't know how you feel about this, Jared. I mean, this is an inside thing, but a lot of disease is kind of an inside job. And so when we get sick, I'm kind of the belief the majority of that illness is caused by our attitudes and our thoughts and our intentions. Disease, a lot of times, from what I've learned, and certainly I'm not a doctor, I play one on the radio, but I'm saying that a lot of it is caused by the way we feel about things in life. So if we focus on anger for too long, we make it cancer. Not saying that's always the case. Sometimes we focus on, if we're depressed for a long time, something else might show up. And so I feel like that can be a key to a lot of our problems. And when we correct that, that can also correct, you know, we have to look at the body, mind, spirit, the whole thing.
I think there's no doubt that the mind and body are connected, and that our mental state can affect our physical state, and vice versa. You know, if whether anger leads to cancer, I can't speak to that. But, you know, I do think that we must take a holistic view to medicine and not think of the mind and the body as two separate, unrelated entities, because they're not.
Do you find that out in the... Because you earlier we talked about the Western part of the country seems to be the first that kind of gets it, and then it spreads from there. Do you find that there... Because I talked to somebody in Vancouver, oh, it's been years now, probably at least 5 years or so, maybe longer, but they were talking about combining holistic with Western. Do you see that more out where you live going on?
San Francisco is definitely a hub for alternative medicine. Hmm. There's a lot of very free-thinking people out here, a lot of open-minded people, I think, you know, more so than anywhere else I've ever lived in the U.S. It's a thriving community here, and, you know, you mentioned acupuncture, for example, and I have lots of friends here who have had acupuncture. Back when I was in the East Coast, I didn't hear about that as much. I think the West Coast, particularly Northern California, is definitely more open-minded towards those things than other parts of the country. And it's one of the reasons I like living out here is because of the culture.
Well, it's really been a pleasure talking to you. Again, if people want to find out more, or if you want to contribute, or if you have a question, crowdmed.com. You can be a medical detective. Huh, who would have thought a DJ... A guy that just talks for a living could be a medical detective. Maybe I could be someday, you know.
We welcome insights from anywhere. And even though you were a DJ and you're a talk show host, you might know things about, you know, through your firsthand experience about certain medical conditions that doctors don't. And we want to give you a voice. So I appreciate that.
Well, I can tell you right now, as being a DJ, I can tell you when you bite your tongue what to do, because I've bitten it more than once in my career. So I know the best remedy for that. Or when you maybe push down on a button and you hurt your finger. Yeah, I'm an expert on that too.
I don't think we have any of those cases on our site. But
if you ever get those, you know where to call. I'm just joking around. Jared Hyman from San Francisco, and it's crowdmed.com, medical detectives. Thank you very much, Jared.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Please hang on, okay, Jared?
Okay,
and I'm going to do a shorter version that's going to run. It's only going to be a couple minutes, so we're going to just have to get to the meat of it. And this is going to be the one, because when I go on the radio, I have a contemporary station that I'm the morning host on. And so they don't want me to talk more than 2 or 3 minutes. So if it's okay with you, we'll just do a real brief thing that runs on our 100,000-watt blasting FM all over central upper Michigan so they can hear you.
Okay, so just to make sure I'm clear, what we just recorded, will that be edited to 2 minutes? Or you want to do it?
No, what we just recorded is a full recorded. I won't edit it. All I'll do is I put open and close. That's for out there, my program, my podcast. I don't have to have any limit on that. I just make it whatever limit I feel like going. And then as far as like what we're going to do right now will be for the on-air radio part, if that's okay, if you have time.
Sure. We have time. I've got probably another 10 minutes or so.
All right. Well, this will just be real short. Stand by. Here we go in 3, 2, 1. Magic 97, WGLQ, Jared Hyman. I got, you know, somebody sent me an email, and I'm always open to all this stuff, and I think it's really cool. And he's with something called crowdmed.com, and he's the founder behind that. And what it's really about is medical detectives, and also people go in there to, anybody can go there and maybe help somebody find an answer to a disease, but also if you're looking to find an answer to your disease, or at least another opinion. How are you doing, Jared?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
Great. And you're in San Francisco, right?
I am. It's a sunny day today.
And so tell me what the site is about briefly. Is it pretty much what I said? If you have a disease, you go there, or if you think you have an answer?
Yeah, we welcome two types of people on our site. Patients, who are people who have an unsolved medical condition. Our average patient has seen 8 doctors and been sick for 6 years by the time they submit their case on our site. So these are often very, very tough, challenging cases. And then we also welcome what we call medical detectives. And these are the people who collectively collaborate on helping to solve the patient's case.
So, you know, I can only imagine that people that have been through something, you know, probably have a lot of answers because they've gone through it. If you've never been through it yourself, and then even if doctors deal with it every day, every case is different. But the person that went through it might have some answers, right?
Absolutely. And we made a conscious decision early on not to limit our medical detective community to only physicians, because we believe that the insight that leads a patient to their correct diagnosis and treatment could come from anywhere. And in fact, it could very well come from another patient who has had the same disease or knows someone who has and has some kind of firsthand knowledge of that illness that might be even more than a lot of doctors have. Particularly if it's a rare disease.
Yeah, that's what's really cool about that. So if people want to find out, you go to crowdmed.com. Maybe you have something you want to share with them. And then do people get confused because you have like 600 people saying different things, or how does that work?
Well, that's really where our mechanism and technology comes into place. So we're much more sophisticated than a simple forum or message board where people just kind of type in their answer. We have a much more structured, sophisticated technology set up where we try to collect the aggregate consensus of the crowd, where anybody can suggest a diagnosis, but a certain diagnosis can only be suggested once. And then other people can bet points on what they believe to be the most likely correct diagnosis for that patient. And we look at that point behavior. Actually, it's almost like a betting system where you bet points on what you believe to be the right answer. And then our technology aggregates those bets over time, and we assign a probability to what our technology believes is the most likely correct diagnostic suggestion for that patient, looking at the crowd's collective point betting behavior. So it's a very long-winded way of saying that we don't rely on anecdotes, but rather consensus to come up with the patient's most likely correct diagnosis and solution.
And we don't have time to get into explain exactly how this works, but it's really pretty cool. I suggest you just go to crowdmed.com, and you could be a medical detective, or you can just ask them a question. Maybe you're going through something, and nobody's been able to help you. That's the great thing about this. Jared Hyman from San Francisco, thank you very much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Out there, created by Kevin MacLeod.